Welcome back to Screen Crush Rewind. I'm your host, Ryan Airy. And today, in honor of Supergirl releasing tomorrow, I want to talk about the second most controversial DC super-based film, Man of Steel. So we got some people coming on today. One person who I know did not like it, one person who I know did like it, and then one person whose opinion I actually don't know. I did not ask before they arrived. I have my own thoughts on Man of Steel. Apparently you guys do in the comments too. We have a poll running right now where 44% of you announced the film as meh. So make sure to join that poll, hit us up in the live chat. And as always, super chats are encouraged but not required. Every little bit you give helps the channel, and we'll get to the super chats a little later in the video. But look, I don't wanna hold everybody back. I know we've all got thoughts on Man of Steel, and I can't wait to get him out there for you guys to hear. So first of all, let's bring him on. You know him as the guy who's trapped in our TV but doesn't know it, so please don't tell him. Mr. Colton Ogburn. What's up, Colton?
I thought we were doing The Flash. We're doing Man of Steel?
We're doing Man of Steel this time, yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
You love The Flash, though. When The Flash came out, Colton was like, he said it was better than Across the Spider-Verse. He said it was a better multiverse movie.
I enjoy it more than that film. Yeah.
I think it's underrated. I think The Flash is underrated. It's just, you know, wonky CGI baby scare the shit out of me. And coming up next, he's an old friend here at the channel. He's the man who wrote our Supergirl breakdown, which I can't wait for you guys to see. He's the biggest DC fan I know. I trust his opinion more than anyone drawing breath on all matters DC. This side of Alex Ross, Mr. Lee Mazzio. What's going on, Lee?
Hello. So excited to talk about one of my, if not my most hated movie of all time.
And I want to point, like, your views on DC movies kind of fall into a weird spectrum. Okay, so like you and I saw Joker Folia do together, and we both turned to each other and kind of loved it I loved it in the most meta way possible, because I fully recognize that Todd Phillips was shitting on people who liked the first one, and I'm kind of a like let's burn it all down for the fun of it kind of guy. But you also don't like the Nolan trilogy. And last night, you turned to me after Supergirl and said, I like that better than Superman.
Yeah, so I know that I'm definitely not the most mainstream comic book movie fan. We argue on comic book movies that I like all the time, I think, with everyone at Screen Crush. But Man of Steel, I feel particularly a bit of larger amount of distaste for than I do other comic book films, but we'll get into
that. All right, we'll get to that.
I know Colton and I disagree on it endlessly.
I can't wait for a spirited debate, and let's remind everybody, be civil in the comments. And Mr. Civility himself from the channel Philosophy All Along, our resident philosopher on all things geek, Mr. Nicholas Michaud. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Ryan. Good to be on. I'm excited to be here.
It's really good to see you. Thank you for coming on. I got some special news and announcements later on. But first, I think it would make sense if we all, just for a moment, briefly. What's up, Colton? Why are you giggling?
Nick just kind of sounded like, what the hell did I get myself into here?
Oh, no, it'll be fun, Nick. We're going to have a good time. Don't you worry.
He's like, oh, geez.
First thing that happens, well, we have to have the debate about The Flash next.
Hey, if this gets us the views, I will come in here and talk about every single DC movie ever made. But along those lines, I'm curious, like going into Man of Steel, if any of you guys had a pre-existing connection or relationship to Superman, the character. For instance, I remember when I was a kid, we would have to rent a VCR. And one of the first movies I remember us renting was Superman, the movie. And I flipped my shit over it. And ever since then, Superman has been my favorite superhero. So I have a deep connection to those Christopher Reeve films. Love the animated series, you know, et cetera, all of those. Yeah. So, you know, Colton, what about you?
Well, I mean, it's Superman, man. So, yeah, I am significantly younger than you. So, you know, Spider-Man was
we
more
talk
so,
about that a lot.
Spider-Man, like the Raimi Spider, I'm sitting here fidgeting with this right now. It was more so
I was conceived during the Carter administration. I know how old I am.
Clinton. That completely threw off my train of thought. Oh, so yes, I came up like on Spider-Man. So I remember my grandmother trying to show me like the Christopher Reeve Superman. And now I do have like a true like appreciation for that movie. I do. I think as a kid, though, you know, when you're watching, you've got the Raimi Spider-Man movies, you know, the Christopher Reeve ones look a little old and, you know, not as
dated.
Yeah, a little dated. So, yeah. So And you know, this is the first time I'm realizing this. Maybe that's why we differ so much on Man of Steel, because maybe you do have like a deeper connection to that character than I ever did. I've always been more of a Spider-Man, Batman guy. I like the character of Superman, but you know, I've never had like this, oh, he has to be done this way. I expect it. The Superman I really grew up with was the Superman of the animated series. I'm not sure.
Which is also great and completely unlike Henry Cavill in Man of Steel. Lee, what about you? What's your previous prior to Man of Steel? And I look, I acknowledge you're even younger than Colton. So when I'm talking about your prior experience to Man of Steel, it's probably a rattle with Superman on it.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with my little baby bottle. I came down to my little ship from Krypton. But
I heard Gavin Newsom was president when Lee was born.
Yeah, I was born 2 seconds ago. No, probably the animated series. I mean, I'll kind of back Colton a little. When I was younger, I definitely don't think, aside from Krypto the Super Dog Show, which was pretty baller, there wasn't a lot of like super family animated or super family stuff going on TV. So I grew up mostly on like Teen Titans and Batman. And then I want to say later in life, maybe towards middle school, was when Superman really became like, all right, he's not just like happy guy that's kind of lame and Batman's much cooler. But that's big in part to the 78 movie. I fell in love with that. I think that Christopher Reeve was just like, I saw him and I was like, wow, superheroes are real. Like, this is a real superhero. And
that's,
I think,
what they were going for, verisimilitude.
Exactly. And so because I saw that, like, yes, I had the 2002 Spider-Man, love that. But something about the realness of the Superman movie, I then think I took that as, oh, the realness of the character. And from then on, that was just my definitive Superman. That's how all Supermen have to be.
Interesting. And Nick, what about you?
So speaking of being old, honestly, the first recollections that I have of Superman are the
radio serials.
The Adventures of Superman, like the George Reeves. So I was reruns of that when I was like, I wasn't there when it was made, presumably, but I was watching reruns of that. For me, having seen some of the Christopher Reeves films in theaters, I'm old enough to do that as well. It's interesting because I've spent a lot of time in preparation for this, Ryan, watching your videos trashing Man of Steel. And I think you have a lot of really interesting and thoughtful points. But what's interesting is to your point, Colton, I'm generationally probably more similar to Ryan, as we're both quite elderly. But I generally disagree. And I think maybe briefly for kind of two reasons. One being that...
Well, hold on. I don't want to get into your thoughts on Man of Steel just yet. Sorry, if you're about to dive into that, can we hold off on that?
I wasn't going to dive into that. I was just going to say we tend to like the things we grew up with.
True.
So if there's something we have an association with from our childhood, so I try to avoid that. Because I know that there's things that were really poorly made when I was a kid, but I still kind of love them now, despite the fact that they weren't all that great. And I think we have a tendency to cross genres. Like, we'll look at a comic book and say, well, the comic book was better. Or we'll look at the novel and say, well, the novel was better. But that's really just a way of showing off a knowledge base. Like, oh, look, I read the novel.
Okay.
What just occurred to me, what's that? Brandon Routh was, I guess, my first Superman movie. I remember dad picking me up for the weekend and going to see, what was that, Superman Returns, right?
Yeah.
And he fought the airplane, and
I remember when I saw Superman Returns, I was working at a summer camp in upstate New York, and we got to see it on a day off, and I like screamed at everyone at the start of it, like, to shut up. I came here to see this movie not to hear visual arts talking in the back. Like, let's go. So I was really excited about it. So, like, I've always loved Superman. I remember the first time I saw Man of Steel, I was working at the summer camp. It was a day off. And when the movie was over, I remember going into the parking lot with my then girlfriend, now wife, and screaming, "Superman doesn't kill," at the top of my lungs. It made me so viscerally angry that, as a prank, the people who worked with me at the camp changed all of my wallpapers and shit to Man of Steel based, which I still find deeply offensive and hugely unfunny, but I appreciate the effort on their part. So that's my, how I felt. That's what happened. That's when I first saw Man of Steel. Just real quick, I want to hear from you guys. When was the first time you saw Man of Steel? Like, what was your experience seeing the film?
Colton? I keep referencing my family a lot. I took my grandmother and my sister. We went and saw it in theaters when it came out in like 2013. Went and saw it opening weekend. Yeah.
2013. So little 7-year-old Colton loved it. You were all into it.
More like
seven. I don't know.
I don't know. How old was that? I was in high school, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because
I was like, carbon date you. I'm just curious.
I was in high school, and I was really excited for it. You know, it was the first Superman movie since the Returns one.
I thought the trailer was fucking sick. Like, I was so into this movie before I walked in. And the Krypton stuff, but we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, and it was kind of a renaissance, you know, right then for superhero movies. Avengers had just come out. I was pumped.
Mm-hmm. Lee, what about you? First time seeing
I didn't actually see it in theaters. I saw it on DVD because I was a little baby when it came out, and I was 11. But I watched it with some friends who I was in the midst of my CW Smallville watch. Mm-hmm. Love that show. And then they were like, oh, if you're going through Superman, you'll love Man of Steel. And I did not love Man of Steel.
That's a bold statement for someone to make to a Superman fan.
Yeah,
because I kind of feel like it's the opposite. I feel like if you've never have any association with Superman, you're more likely to like it. But yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Nick, what about you? When was the first time you saw it?
So I saw it in theaters when I was years old, and I enjoyed it. I had a friend who was really excited about it because he really disliked Return of Superman or Superman Returns, because he complained that, well, there was never a punch, like Superman never throws a punch, and you get kind of the opposite of that in Man of Steel. So there was a lot of deep action. But I have to know, Colton, what did your meemaw think of the movie? Because really, we should default whatever grandma thinks of a movie is probably the right answer.
I don't remember, man. I have no idea. She probably said, "That was good. Probably.
Well, then debate over.
She loves the new one. Fucking loves the new one. Like, she loves the new Superman. Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
She's got good taste. All right. So that's enough preamble. Let's get into what we actually thought of the movie. Like Nick said, like, I've been talking about this movie on the channel for years. I'm going to try to not weigh in that much. Colton, we'll start with you again. I know you really like the movie. Defend this sweltering piece of shit to me, please.
This is going to sound like I'm backing down, but I'm realizing that you and Lee have a far more passionate opinion about this movie than I do. Like,
sure. But that's important because of what you said earlier about your connection was more to Spider-Man than Superman. So I'm thinking maybe I'm wondering if Lee and I are jaded by our connection to the character and if we can separate ourselves from the film. And not as a superhero film. So go ahead and tell us why you like it. It's okay.
Possibly.
You're in a safe place, kind of.
And I will say it's been a while since I've seen it. The main thing I love about it, I think, is Henry Cavill. I love Henry Cavill. I love his portrayal as Superman. I know they were going for that kind of the darker thing, the Zack Snyder, the desaturation. I think it's a beautiful film, but the color, not crazy about the color. But I think just overall, it captured what it means. Like, Superman is about a god coming to Earth and what that means and how you are supposed to behave. And I know there's a line that you hate.
Lee's face when you said that.
Sorry.
I know there's a line that you hate, Ryan, from the movie where Superman, Clark asks, what was I supposed to do? Let them die? And Pa Kent says, maybe. I love that line.
Paul, because it's not really him. I think that a grown man basically looking at dying children and says, that probably would have been for the best, actually, if those kids would have died. Is the most Randian, libertarian piece of shit philosophy I could possibly imagine.
But that's not how I took it. I took it as him saying, listen, I don't know, and you don't know either. Like, talking to Clark, this is an unheard of thing. You are an alien from space with the powers of a god, and I'm not going to pretend that I can sit here and properly parent you and tell you what to do and not to do with this power. He's not saying that actually maybe it would have been better to let the kids die. He's having a moment. He's trying to teach Clark humility, I think, in that moment when he says, maybe. I don't know. I think he's trying to teach Clark humility.
I think he's teaching him. I don't know, man. Because in the same scene, he says to him, am I still your son? You know, and he says, yes, you are my son. Or, you know what I mean? Like, can I still pretend I'm your son? He says, I am your son. You are my son. So if he's your son, why aren't you teaching him basic fucking morality? I don't know. I get what Zack Snyder was doing. He was saying, what if Superman actually came to Earth? But it would be like if I said, well, hell, I don't know. Like, what if Batman actually existed in modern day? What would that look like? So many aspects of Batman just could not transfer to a real world basis. He would be a completely different character. But I'm not sorry. I can't help but argue with you about it.
Yeah.
I need to hear from Lee. And,
well, here's an extreme, though. What if the option was, yes, of course you should save a bus full of children. But what if it involves like releasing the plans to like a nuclear weapon or something? There's that counter to it that I think he's trying to say is that by revealing to the world that you are a person that can lift a school bus out of the water, I think he's just trying to say in that moment, I'm your father. I love you. I support you. I don't have all the answers that you're looking for, but I'm with you in trying to find them. I think that's how I took it.
Fair enough. Lee, what do you think about this?
Yeah. So I just feel like there's so many parts that like I would love to pick apart, but my main thing, and Colton, you noted on this, is that I think that Man of Steel focuses too much on the super part of Superman and not enough on the man part of Superman, which is what makes Superman Superman. I think that it tries so hard to make Clark this god that he's not. And the whole thing with Superman being this character is that though he is Kryptonian, his biggest strength comes from his compassion and his humanity. And the whole conversation with Pa Kent about like, you couldn't have done this, you shouldn't have saved those kids, or like maybe you shouldn't have let them die, I always found so funny, because one of the most like iconic Superman lines to me, and also this is why I find the Zod death so insane, is that there's always another way, or there's always a way. Superman's whole thing is that he's an optimist. There's always hope. There's always a way to save people without crashing through all those buildings in Metropolis, or having all those kids in that school bus die, or your father dying in a tornado. Like, there is always a way, and it seems like Zack Snyder's Superman is operating on, this is the only way, and I'm just going to do that because I'm the only person on this earth that can do that. So because I have all these powers of this god, I must be making the right answer and the right choices then, because I was blessed to be brought down here on earth.
Yeah,
and I'm exactly the last son of Krypton, and I must be the savior, instead of, no, I'm this guy who was born in small town Kansas, and my mom, my pa taught me to be the best guy I can be. Well, and it just seems that there's not a lot of focus on what really makes Clark super instead of what should have made him super.
Lee, I'll push back on one thing there. I don't think this version of Clark at any point feels like he knows he's making the right decision. Like, he doesn't feel like he's making the right decision just because he's a god. If anything, I think it's the exact opposite. He feels like his godhood is a burden, and he doesn't know if the human race is worthy of that burden. But along those lines, I'd like to hear a philosophical point of view on this. Nick, I have no idea what you think of this movie.
So I think there's a lot of there. I have a weird way of looking at films. I'll say that very briefly. I can enjoy them, but I also cannot enjoy them, but try and find the value in them. I think that that is one of the most important things we can do with art, is not just enjoy it, but also, like, I don't enjoy Schindler's List, but I think it's brilliant, but I don't watch it like for funsies, you know? So I think this film is actually smarter than it's given credit for. I think the people who hate it because of a particular belief that Superman should be a certain way. And the people who like it tend to like it because they like to see this, you know, badass super god Superman. But diving into the film, and I think, Colton, your point is a really good one. Like, issues like humility and what's being taught by the film, I think is also interesting and valuable. So I will say, in terms of my own enjoyment of the film, I found that in spending time preparing for this, I came to like it more and more, that as I was kind of diving into it and trying to understand why people do as they do in it. So my goal at this point is actually, I'm going to try and put you, Ryan, and Lee on your back foot a little bit, because there's this general consensus that like Superman 78, but especially like lately Superman 2025 is really good. But I want to ask you if it's really that good to have a Superman who just kind of by default thinks that human beings are worth saving. In other words, are we maybe really just liking Superman because Superman is a way of saying God thinks you're worthwhile? Why? Just because you're you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be a better person. You're just valuable. And then notice that the words we use aren't just words like compassion, but humanity, which is honestly just a speciesist. If you're talking that there's aliens from other planets, you're talking about Superman recognizing humanity, which is really just a way of saying, I think he's better because he's more human. And Superman 2025 does exactly that, right? Superman says, I'm as human as you are, which to me is just, and forgive the language, masturbatory. It's a way of saying to the viewer, oh, you can be awesome, not by striving to be more like me, more self-sacrificial, more willing to fight villainy, more willing to do good. You're just worthwhile because you're you. So I think it's at that point.
I'll push back on that pretty hard. I don't think there's a segment of what you said there where I think you hit the nail right on the head for why not just Superman, but almost every superhero resonates with people. And that is, there is a tie to religious belief. There is a tie to God the Father in heaven, he loves us, or whatever particular religion you want. Every religion, for the most part, says there's a protective intelligence that's looking out for us and we are special. So Superman absolutely follows that. He's a God myth. He survived a Holocaust in space. He fell to the earth. It's the heavens joining with the earth, just like Hercules and like so many myths. He follows in those footsteps. He is based on, obviously, Jewish mythology. He was co-opted by Christianity after he was created by two Jewish creators. And, you know, the first trailer for the first movie said Jor-El gave his one and only son. So that's always been there, and it's always spoken to people in a more direct way, but in a way that I think resonates with who we are as a human race, because every society on earth developed myths and godhoods and things like that that spoke to a larger piece of humanity within ourselves. And I do think Superman taps into that. But the idea of saying that Clark saying, look, I strive to be more human as masturbatory because it's calling out and saying how special the human race is, isn't correct at all. Because what he's saying in that moment, in that monologue to Lex Luthor, is, look, I know I'm not perfect. The human race isn't perfect. I'm always doing my best, just like the human race. And Superman, the only thing he does to give us, and not talking about Superman in general, not Man of Steel, obviously, but what Superman does as part of the text is always give us an idea of how we could use our power to help people. Superman could have chosen anything. Batman, I think, never had a choice. The moment those pearls hit the alley floor, Batman had no choice. He had to become what he became. Superman always has a choice. He wakes up every day, like he says, and he chooses to do good and to help people. And that's an inspiring thing for me, because you think about all the little times during the day when you have a choice. Do I flip off this car and honk? Do I reply to this asshole's tweet? Or do I do the Mr. Rogers Superman thing and believe in the best in people?
So what you're saying is, I think, definitely insightful. Let's look at the religious aspect for a second. What if one way of understanding Man of Steel...
Which, by the way, very subtle in Man of Steel. I barely picked up on it the first time I saw it. I mean, when Clark is in... Colton's... If you're listening on podcast, Colton's doing the cross.
If we're looking at it religiously, right, there's a way of looking at a lot of the Superman that you're saying I prefer as a Protestant version of Superman. And Man of Steel is the Catholic version, the one where you kind of have to earn to some degree. You have to do something in terms of going to confession. You have to recognize your sins. I think, and we'll get to this, I'm sure, later on when we're talking about Superman's murder, but like taking on our sins, the Protestant notion tends to be more one of, I just need to recognize a need for salvation. I need to kind of call out and the deity will be there for me. Mm-hmm. So what I'm liking about Man of Steel is it's challenging our kind of assumption that we are in fact worthy. I mean, even talking about Spider-Man, right? Like Colton, you're talking about Spider-Man a little bit. Isn't the appeal of Spider-Man to a certain degree that he's a neighborhood hero, that he's recognizing our worth, that he's someone who we in some sense could be, just like another person like us put in this circumstance. The problem with Superman being someone like us is it's really just a way of saying, oh, what I really like about Superman is the man part. And so what I'm trying to ask you is, why would we think that the best part of Superman is the man part? Like, look at what human beings do. Look at who we actually are as a race and a species. Is the best part of Superman his humanity?
Yeah, I think so. Because if you take, sorry, Lee, I'll let you reply in just a second. But if you take away the man part and if he's just super, that's like looking at a nuclear warhead and saying, isn't that nuclear warhead great? It's about how that power is wielded. Go ahead, Lee. I'm sorry.
I was that, and also to again bring up Spider-Man, I always put Superman and Spider-Man in my head kind of on that same level of responsibility, because with great power comes great responsibility. And Superman has this great power that, yes, he can either pisses him off, he can body slam him until the next galaxy if he wanted to, but instead, in the end, he says to Lex that, I wish you could see how good you could be for the Earth and how amazing you could be if you chose to do good. And so it's not Superman saying like, oh, I'm like you, but I'm not, so I'm better. It's Superman saying, I'm like you, so you can choose to do better because I chose to do better. I choose to do better every time I wake up. And I feel like this thing of choice of Clark specifically choosing his power, like every day he wakes up as this regular man, he goes to work at the Daily Planet, and then in his free time, he chooses to help people. I think that it being sort of like his hobby, quote unquote, is telling us as humanity that our hobby is to be good. We could be our own little Superman in our free time, though we might not be Kryptonian. And so that's why I think the man part is so important, because it lets us know, as the readers, as the viewers, that we don't have to be from another planet, from Krypton, be this all-powerful being in order to just make someone's day better and to help someone.
Well, I guess where I'm confused is, Lee, I agree with everything you just said and everything before that. Like, I am 100% on the same page with you when it comes to Superman.
Yeah.
What about Man of Steel, I guess is what I'm asking, spits in the face of that? Like, because he does work at the Daily Planet. He is living a life as a regular man. He is, you know, helping people.
There are just so many instances in Man of Steel specifically where I don't fly, I'm not Superman, I don't have powers, but like, if I was gonna, you know, try and save Metropolis and my goal is to make sure that everyone is safe, I wouldn't have flown through a building or several. But like, so like, there are little
the scene when Zod throws a truck at him and he flies over it and lets it smash in the ground behind him is hilarious.
Is there like, any
compared to Superman?
Is there any grace to be given with this being this is his first time Supermaning?
Yes.
In that movie.
I'll give him some benefit there. Yeah.
And I also want to say,
I'll give him a little bit
on the commentary of like this one being a more godlike thing, or like him viewing himself as more God than human in the Man of Steel verse. I always, and I'm going to go back to it, even it'll piss Ryan off, but I always viewed when Pa Kent tells him, I don't know, I always viewed that as him saying, you have great power, you know, going back to Spider-Man as well, but that does not mean that you're right about everything. Just because you have an inclination, oh, I need to do this, that I have this great power, I can do anything, I need to do this. Yes, in that specific instance, yes, you save the bus full of children. But like with it, what they explore in Superman and also in Batman v Superman, a movie I don't really like, well, where does he need to get involved when it comes to a war?
Well,
what involvement does Superman need to have?
Sure, but if you're going to do that, then do it, right? If you're going to do that, then show Clark having a lapse in judgment and then being conflicted about, oh, I went too far. There are some great Superman stories that do that, but I don't think Zack Snyder wanted to tell a typical Superman story. I think he has a very specific worldview based on, like, we've made videos about this. I'm not going to get too far into it, but based on how he was raised, his religion, and based on the kind of stories he liked when he was a kid, like Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I always want to say Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which is about a seagull who believes he's the best at flying, or wants to prove he's the best at flying ever and fly above all the other seagulls, including his taciturn father. That's exactly what Man of Steel is. It's a remake of that combined with a fountainhead.
But a lapse in judgment, like having to snap Zod's neck to save that family from getting
lasered. No, that's not what I'm saying. So for one thing, there's never any repercussions from that. He's a little sad afterwards. But there, in the next movie, he's right back to killing people like crazy. Like, he bashes some dudes through a wall. So it's not like he spent a lot of time dealing with that. I'm saying if they wanted to give him some sort of pathos about this, like, okay, yeah, you could save a bus full of kids. Or in Batman v Superman, there's a story that Pa Kent on a mountain, gee, that's subtle, tells him about, this one time we saved this farm and saved all their pigs, but it flooded the next farm and destroyed it. Well, I don't know. Maybe have him do that. Maybe as a kid, have him say, Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go do this instead. And by the way, you're talking about Pa Kent presenting him with the choice. He sure as hell took that choice away from him at the tornado when Clark could have easily saved his father's life. And the whole point of Pa Kent dying in Superman 78 is that he could not save his dad's life because everybody dies at some point, which means make the most of the life you have while you have it.
Ryan, that is there's a sense in which your own bias about the film reveals itself through the interpretation of that moment. Nothing that Pa Kent can do to stop Clark if Clark wants to. Nothing. So we've mentioned over and over again, well, he stops him from... No. He gives him, in essence, his own personal take on it. And I think it's odd that we're not reading that as a self-sacrificial moment, exactly the kind of moment that Colton is asking for. It's a moment of...
It's really not. Like, it's Pa Kent saying... He knows... He goes from an argument in the car with Clark... where he's telling him, where they're having this distance between each other, where he's treating him like a taciturn father. He's not presenting him with a choice. He's like, what's wrong with farming? He wants him to follow in his footsteps because he's scared of Clark becoming something else. He's trying to keep him normal and on the farm, and he wants him to be an asshole just like he is.
So his death isn't a self-sacrifice.
Pause?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Clark having a self-sacrificial moment.
Right. Carefully that's what withdrawn. I'm saying. I'm saying he's modeling for Clark. Self-sacrifice. Presumably, he doesn't want to die, and he's doing it specifically so that his son will have the choice. Because if he does it now, because he feels compelled to, because it's his father, that choice for Clark is taken away.
So he's also doing it to protect his son.
Yeah,
I'm really glad you brought this up, this matter of choice. And you're right. He's doing it to protect his kid. Absolutely. But I don't think he's trying to present him with the choice. He's telling him, I don't want you to do this. Don't do this. Right. Clark still could have saved him, like you said, on the matter of choice. Choice is the number one thing Snyder is concerned with in this movie. It is vital to him that Superman feel absolutely no obligation to helping humanity. It has to be because he decides he wants to. He is a character of objectivism, right? Am I getting the philosophical term correct there?
Basically objectivism, that basically. In essence, selfish, placing his self-interest first.
Are you saying he's making an Randian perspective?
Instead of altruism.
Are you saying it's like he's doing us a favor? Is that what you're saying? Like it feels like...
Well, just that he has no obligation to help. Like, like if I do help you, it's not because I have to. It's because I feel like doing it right now. The ultimate example of this is later in the movie. So there's this whole thing, which I totally get. I love the idea of a Superman movie where Clark Kent is basically like, shit, what happens if I reveal myself? This could really be bad. It's like the debate that happens in the lead up to Disclosure Day, right? Like, what should we even reveal this? That is a fascinating thing to do. And for my money, though, the movie should either focus on that or depart from it completely, because what we get is General Zod appears in the sky, like everybody hears the thing. He says, you're not alone. Aliens exist. There is an alien on your planet. I wish to speak to this alien. He must reveal himself. Okay, so then Clark has to go, you know, pray to a, sit next to a picture of Gethsemane and say, gee, do I accept this godhood? Do I do this? The choice is already made for him. If he doesn't go to Zod, then Zod's going to destroy the world, but we have to preserve the notion of choice. It has to be his choice. No one can force the mighty God's hand. And that is the number one thing I object to in this movie, is that he consistently is not allowed to just be Superman. He always has to be this guy who makes sure that he's doing everything for himself first and for others a distant third. Fuck, later on, he even makes out in the ashes of Metropolis. The corpses of the dead surround him and Lois when they tongue each other.
So one of the problems that I see kind of emerging, though, is that there is this issue of both you and Lee are presenting to me a Superman who does what he does because he has no choice, which undermines the very notion of moral responsibility and like moral praise and blame.
It's the opposite of what I said earlier. Superman does have a choice.
But what I'm saying is, if he does have a choice to do it, that becomes especially important. Whereas think about something like with great power comes great responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. Which is
Spider-Man.
Where you guys kind of keep emphasizing it. But the word responsibility specifically means, obviously, the ability to respond. In other words, embedded in that very idea is, as soon as you have the ability, you are morally obligated to respond, thusly removing choice. So the problem that
I want to agree with you. Spider-Man doesn't have a choice. He's motivated from guilt.
Oh,
I agree with you 100%.
100%. So, but my point being, though, is that if we look at it from the perspective of, if you have power, then you thus, by definition, have the responsibility. What the person is doing is not, they're not doing it because it's right. They're doing it because they're compelled to, period. So the film Man of Steel places us in the position of kind of struggling with Superman to figure out, given the fact that he does have a choice, if humanity is in fact worth saving. And I think that's why a lot of us don't like it, because look at how much of what you said suggests a knee-jerk salvation. He sees this happening, he's got to save them. Zod says, I'm going to kill all these people. We say, well, he should do it. But the question of why is important. Zod is literally trying to bring back a race of people that, let's just for grins, point out is superior to humanity. Right? These people, technologically more advanced, far more intelligent than we are. And we by default.
I don't know, Nick. The Kryptonians stood aside while their planet was being destroyed. I don't think the human race would ever do that.
What I'm saying is, we're just kind of by default going, well, obviously you should save humanity and not resurrect this other alien race. But if we were the other alien race, how many of us would be going,
they could have shared the planet. I mean, they obviously could have shared Earth. Like, there's no reason to think that they're genocidal fascist maniacs who are bent on genetic purity.
But what's warfare other than people making that choice all the time? And many of us going, our right to exist, our right to resources, our political beliefs justify us eliminating others. The question is important. And so it's interesting to me that we seem to want Superman not to have to question it, which is why I'm saying it's masturbatory. When he questions it and then comes to the answer, that is the most powerful moment of the film. When he goes, okay, you know what? This comes at sacrifice for me, just like my father modeled for me beforehand, just like Pa did. So now I'm going to determine that you are worthy, not just because you are, because I've sat down and thought about it.
You know, it's interesting, though, because we every time we talk about this movie, right, like either this argument, which is great, or the argument about, he had to kill Zod because he was going to kill those people. It's not a fucking documentary. These are choices that these people made. And we tend to get so into these characters and attach ourselves to them. We talk about them like they are. In terms of creating a movie, right, in terms of like writing a piece of fiction, if you are just structuring a plot and you want this choice to be a key central figure, the way to do that is to not present your protagonist with a choice between, do I help the people who raised me my entire life and my mother, or do I let genocidal maniacs erase the human race? Because we already, as an audience, know which way he's going to choose. And I think there could have been nuance in there. There could have been a debate about, you know, maybe if Zod didn't threaten to kill everybody, maybe if that's all it was, maybe if it was like, hey, I'm here and we're the aliens exist. And maybe even if like the white Martians, they pretend to be good and, you know, he get to really give him that choice. But I think Snyder and Goyer painted him in a corner where he basically had no choice, but they still wanted to present him with one. And it results in one of the most boring and ineffective scenes in the film.
It would have been
the prayer scene. I mean, with the priest.
It would have been more interesting if they came and they were like, we're not going to kill everybody, but we are going to kind of take over. We're going to set up shop. And like Clark knows. Yeah. And like Clark knows how the U.S. military and Russia and China, he knows how all the big powers would respond to that. He knows it will cause war. Yeah. That would have been a more interesting angle to take it.
And do I let humanity have their war? Do I let them go to war?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe that would have been cool too. Like
that would have been for sure very interesting.
You know what I kind of think? I wish, sorry, Nick, real quick, I'll throw this out there, then I'll let you get to your point. I think one of, you know how we always talk about like, oh yeah, I wish they'd remake this movie. This movie was so good, I wish they'd remake it. I'm always interested in remaking bad movies. I still think Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, has the best storyline for a Zack Snyder movie. Superman unilaterally decides to end nuclear war because a second grader wrote to him, but he decides to end nuclear war. Fucking great premise for a movie. Like, and I imagine what Zack Snyder would do with that film. And that to me raises much more interesting questions than what we got in this film. Sorry, Nick. I didn't mean to step.
I agree. That's actually the first one that I saw in theaters as a kid. But what's funny is
I think it's mine too.
I was like, actually, this is genius. Because I was like,
that's so bad in hindsight.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, I still have like a soft spot for it. So just to hit the philosophical point that you're bringing up very briefly.
Yeah.
So when you talk about objectivism, I'm not sure that the film is fairly saddled with that because of Pa Kent's sacrifice. In other words, at the end of the day, the choice is made to engage in self-sacrifice. So I think the film is actually trying to reject that selfish, altruistic justification. It clearly doesn't do it as clearly as we would like it to, but I think that that's the opponent of the film. That's the Lex Luthor of the film, is selfishness. And what do I do to protect myself? And Clark has to address that. What's interesting to me about that is that it's really kind of more Nietzschean, not to spend too much time throwing around names.
Real quick, fill us in on Nietzsche.
So there's this idea of Friedrich Nietzsche. We're not entirely sure if it's his writing or kind of redone by his sister, but the whole idea of there being an Übermensch or Superman, that someone who realizes that the morality that we deal with all the time is mostly just bullshit. So like, if you're late for work and everyone doesn't get their Frappuccino on time, you're a bad person and shame on you. And you should feel bad about yourself. That this Übermensch kind of realizes that a lot of this stuff that's being imposed on us isn't really significant, and that they kind of come to terms with, you know, what I should do is be the best version of myself that I can be. And then everyone kind of hates them for that because they're like the Michael Phelps or, you know, a superhero of some kind, that we look at them and we go, why do you get to not have to worry about all the little piddly crap that we have to worry about? So I think in some ways this film, Man of Steel, is kind of presenting that, this idea of someone who is supposed to be an ideal, because what the Übermensch is supposed to do in theory, at least from some of Nietzsche's writings, is once they realize that all of this other crap isn't important, that they have to kind of answer to themselves, then what they try to do is at that point help others. They're kind of modeling it. They're kind of like, look, you can be free also. You're not a bad person if you're late to work. You don't have to risk your life speeding on the highway, possibly kill yourself to meet all of this little kind of pedantic bullshit. So the point being is I think from the perspective of that, from the idea of like, okay, what if we gave human beings the highest possible model we could? That gives us an ideal to strive towards. And my worry is that we have really a very low standard. Like, we're talking about doing good as kind of a hobby. But if you're an ethicist, good can't be the thing that you do as a hobby. The worry that the moral implications for Superman really are if he's a truly moral agent, he never does anything he wants to do. He spends all of his time saving others. Why? Because he can. And great power requires great responsibility. Every time he's making out with Lois on the corpses of people from Metropolis, there are people on the other side of the world who are going to die. So my worry is that what we're doing, and don't get me wrong, I love James Gunn's Superman, and I love Crypto especially, and I love the delicacy and gentleness of that, but that what we're also getting is, you don't have to work too hard, humanity. You know, do a little bit of good. Yeah, it's all right. Look, Superman can't spend all his time saving everybody. He gets to go on a sabbatical, you know, he gets to have sex. No, you've told me great power, great responsibility. So why?
Hey, Henry Cavill's Superman got laid a lot more than Corin's was. I'm just going to throw that out.
Yeah, remember
he was way thirstier.
Remember when, for some reason, in his full attire, clothes, gets into a bathtub and floods his apartment?
No, I know why he was wearing his clothes, because it would have burned a hole in the film had that man stripped naked in front of a camera. Lee, I'll let you. You're the one who brought up a hobbyist metaphor, which I don't quite align with either. And then I've got a philosophical point I want to bring up in just a second. But do you want to respond to the hobbyist comment and how you're wrong?
Yeah, sure. maybe hobby was the wrong word, but I see it more so as, and we see this, I know I always bring up my adventures with Superman, but this is something that he does struggle with in that show, is that he can spend all of his time doing good. He doesn't need to sleep. He doesn't need to eat. He could just spend 24/7 doing good and saving all of the world, you know, like have no relationships with anyone. But I think we're looking at Superman as a very like static character, if that is the interpretation you take of it. If it is this robot that can do good 24/7 that then chooses to also have a life, I think his choice to have a life as well is very important. And I think that is another issue I have with Man of Steel in making that alien part about him, is that, again, like to keep going back to the man part, is that yes, he does have this ability to not sleep, eat, yada, 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 but he still chooses to have friends. He still chooses to enjoy all of these human experiences that then in turn make him more capable in being Superman, because he is then able to connect with humans on the planet. I think that if he were to spend his whole time just putting out fires everywhere, he wouldn't be able to connect with humanity, which is the most important part about him, is his connection to, or not humanity, just any sentience, I guess.
The thing about Batman too is like there's a great comic book called Miracle Man that is Alan Moore's take on Shazam or Superman or whatever. And basically it's about a hero who is that, right? Who has, who realizes he's a god. And it's one of, and Neil Gaiman took it over after, and I think did a run recently that I haven't read yet. But like it's one of the most landmark comics ever made for great reason. It's an incredible book, but it's about a different character. You know, so all these moral things we're talking about, we kind of brought up at the beginning. I kind of think Man of Steel, for the most part, works as a movie about a guy. I don't know if it works for me as a Superman movie. I'm just supporting what you're saying.
I didn't know he didn't have to eat or sleep. That's a fun fact.
Kryptonians don't eat or...
Well, depends on the iteration. It's just, you know, it's been different. Sometimes sometimes he can't shave with a razor and uses like a like a piece of his ship and heat vision reflecting. You know, and Nicholas, you brought up, and we got to get to super chats in a second, but you were bringing up this really kind of circular philosophical bit earlier, mate, and I'm sure you'll know the word for it. But a long time ago, I read this Mark Twain essay called like Old Man, Young Man, right? And basically the young man's talking about morality, and you know how, you know, morality is great and that's what makes the human race human. And the old man says, well, morality doesn't exist, because in essence, if you saw some guy on the street not wearing a coat in the middle of winter, you give them your coat because it would make you feel bad if you didn't do that. So if you're going to get into that nuance of it, the question isn't, well, is Superman good in Man of Steel? It's, can, is anybody actually good? Is it possible to do something completely for someone else with no thought to yourself, because it wouldn't impact your own personal feelings one way or the other?
Well, that's a great question. Let's keep it real short. I don't think that that is what we actually want. The tendency, so what you're talking about is psychological egoism versus like a moral egoism or the objectivism. Mm-hmm. Like, can we ever do any good, given that any good that we do, we're probably getting some sort of pleasure out of it? But if you think about it, we probably don't want someone to save a bus of drowning children and go, Damn. Ugh. Why'd I do? Right? We actually view it as a good making property.
When you should feel good from helping other people. Right. That's how we're built. Yes. Right.
It sounded like Raphael.
Damn. did the it again.
Or oh, okay.
No, the turtle.
So, you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we need to saddle Superman with that, but I do think I like the idea, because I'm just a horrible person, of him being tortured by the fact that every time he eats a sandwich, someone dies, right? There's someone that he's not saving from a speeding bus because he's eating something that he doesn't even need to survive. So the whole point then being with something like Man of Steel is maybe it's an answer to the question from the Watchmen, right? Because what does Dr. Manhattan eventually do, right? Upon realizing that humanity is much smaller than him, ineffectual, mortal, so on and so forth, he basically just abandons humanity, right? He just says, I'm going to go try and make
create life. Well, in the comic, yes, but
you know what I'm saying? That this film might be saying, well, maybe the Ubermensch, right? Maybe the Superman, maybe the person who doesn't need us to survive at all can still find a reason to make that choice that isn't just dependent on this compulsion to think that humanity is by default worth saving. So it's good to see that struggle, because I like to think, oh, maybe Dr. Manhattan would have a reason to stay. Maybe there is something about us worth saving. Maybe it's my own Catholic upbringing, right? That kind of like, are we worth it? And why are we worth it? I drove Colton.
Colton has to dip for a second. We're also putting a video out right now. He left to give notes on it, I think. So all good.
He's over it.
I'll bring this up too. You know, you just said something there that I think kind of cuts to the core. You said the super being who doesn't need us. And I think I'll say this and I got to get the super chats. I'm sorry. But what makes Superman Superman, and not necessarily this weird muscular alien in Man of Steel, what makes Superman Superman is that he does need us, that he does need human companionship, that he was raised among us, that he firmly believes in the value and potential of us. And like, to bring it all back to Superman IV, The Quest for Peace, there's a part at the end when he goes to the UN and he gives a speech and he says, I wish you could see, you know, Earth the way I do. We're just one world. And to me, that speaks of what makes him Superman isn't heat vision or speed or anything like that. It's the belief that everybody deserves a chance. Even the most powerful person out there believes that everyone matters, which I don't know, kind of flies in the face of the ideal of the Ubermensch, I guess, but that's the definition of Superman. Like, I mean, you know, we're talking about all these religious metaphors too. He, like I said earlier, was created by two Jews. I mean, I've always heard that, you know, social justice is spoken with a Hebrew accent. You're talking about people who, you know, fled a Holocaust in Europe and created a character who fled a Holocaust from space. So I think that's more the roots of Superman and less, rooted in some of the other ideals that we, like Western civilization, applies to him. Let's get some of these super chats. Sorry, that was really fun, and I'm sure we'll keep arguing on and off camera. Garzilla gave us $10 and said, I love Man of Steel and I love Screen Crush. Thank you so much. Friend of the channel, Phil Aremba from Down Under, said, great visuals and an amazing score, but it leans too heavily into destruction and misses some of the optimism that makes Superman special. Free Doug. Doug actually is out on bail, just so you know. And I forgot to mention, we do have some pretty kick-ass Supergirl merch at our merch store. I meant to show you guys this earlier. We've got this, I freaking love this shirt, the Main Man.
Oh, yeah.
Based, like, it looks like an MC vest, and then the Snoopy, where Crypto is Snoopy leaving a destroyed doghouse. We got a few others that are coming up that'll start with our Supergirl coverage later tonight. Okay, next super chat. I agree. I think some of the destruction was a little bit too gleeful in the movie, and he lost sight of civilians, which I think is one of the things the MCU, Whedon, like doing Age of Ultron, was more of a direct response to. They show them saving civilians, etc. But that's one reason I like the opening of Batman v Superman. You see the consequence of that battle on the human level.
Right.
Michael Rendini just gave me a horrific flashback for $2. Reminded us that the Superman N64 game had the hardest tutorial ever. Terrible game. Did you guys ever play it?
No.
Renowned for being the big... It's one of the reasons people thought, well, you can't make a Superman game. It's just so bad. Armand gave us £5 and said, you guys want the Gen Z opinion? When it came out, it was cool. There was a sense that the MCU was kiddie and DC was more adult. Nowadays, it's just slop. I think a lot for a lot of people, this is their Superman who grew up with that. Patrick,
Nick,
Geraldo
did you
gave
spray them while I was gone? Ryan, a Man of Steel lover now?
No, we agreed to disagree in a lot of
ways. Oh, okay. Right.
I have done no such thing.
Patrick Geraldo gave us $10 and said, Colton is a better screenwriter than David Goyer. Anyone remember his rant about how Adam Strange needed to be Harry Potter and She-Hulk existed to make babies with her cousin? David Wait, Goyer David, said that?
David
Screenwriter who? Of Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Of what?
So.
Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Oh, he I thought know Adam that. Strange needed to be like Harry Potter and that She-Hulk.
Look, I'll take the compliment. I'll take it. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know David Goyer saying all this. I will say
I
that,
agree.
There was a comic agree. Where Hulk reverted to a savage state and tried to mate with She-Hulk. And moving on, Iceberg gave us $5 and said it was his first time at being Superman. That's why it's even worse. His first thought should be to save people in peril and then neutralize threat.
Your first time's messy. It doesn't go the way you think. It's
right.
going
to
be.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not able to. Helping people doesn't always feel good when it's your first time. All right. let's see.
Yeah.
Jay Johnson gave us $2 and said, best debate ever, guys. # restore the Snyderverse. I think you are.
I want to be
really barking up the wrong tree about the Snyderverse coming.
Very
out.
Clear about this. Man of Steel is like the only Snyder DC movie I like, to be clear. About.
Really? I mean, I guess we're not. Oh, Snyder DC movie.
Okay. Yeah, Snyder. Yeah. I hate Batman.
You didn't
Superman,
like, you don't like the Snyder cut?
League. No.
Oh, okay.
Like, not even, I really, I'm not even saying that to be like, oh, yeah. I mean, no.
What's
I
your
really
favorite movie
like the
from
cut.
The DCEU? You guys got a favorite? Is it Man of Steel?
My favorite? I really like The Suicide Squad. The.
I almost Suicide don't Squad. Want to count that, even though it technically bridges yeah. both universes. Yeah. Yeah.
I like Flash. Aquaman. I think the first Aquaman's good.
I love the first Aquaman.
Wonder
man.
Woman's
I
good.
I like the first.
He drowns while Mary Poppins headbutts a spaceship. What else do you want out of life?
Yeah. A lot of good stuff in there. It's just very weighed down by not good stuff.
By everything.
Along those lines, Iceberg gave us $5 and said, also, the Snyder cult boycotting and nitpicking the DCU is comedy. Because if the Snyderverse returned today, it would find a way to die for a third time. It's true. It did come out twice. Yeah. I don't know, guys. Yeah. Like, the whole aspect, I learned a new, Nobody there's a cares. German word. It means in German, but there's a German term called that's an insult that says, you're so hobbyless. And Jason Pargin, one of my favorite influencers, did a video about it. He's like, yeah, that's the root of all of our problems. People who don't invest their time in creating something. Doesn't have to be creating art, it could be anything, it'd be gardening, cooking, whatever. But the act of creating something instead of doom scrolling, where you're not creating anything, all you're doing is feeding into a bullshit mill. And I think a lot of people who get preoccupied with things like, let's review bomb this movie because a girl's in it. Really need a hobby. Really just need to just look around and go, oh, shit, outside. There's all sorts of stuff to do out here. Maybe I don't have to involve myself good. So heavily in other people's stuff. Maybe do good. Maybe learn from the example of a real Superman and not Henry Cavill. Okay.
Build a cage in your backyard for deer.
Yeah.
Build a nice deer cage. By the way, it's 99% finished. I can't wait for you. I'll show a picture when it's done. But I've been building a deer enclosure to trap and torture deer in my backyard. Patrick Geraldo gave us $5 and said, first, Siegel created Superman to subvert Nietzsche. Second, Zod is inaccurate and a poor representation. Well, I don't know. He's a fictional character. You can do that. But I don't know about Siegel creating Superman to subvert Nietzsche. He does when Superman gets powers originally. Beat the shit out of wife beaters and corrupt landlords. Right. So he's very much like a New Deal reformist when it starts.
Can we all agree like
a flag waving
that it
patriot.
The scene in Man of Steel when he wraps the dude's truck around the
telephone he's a dick. He's a dick. And I think a lot of things in this movie are an amplified version of the first two Superman films, like when he beats up the trucker in S2. But that's what I call it. S2. Yeah, like S2, cool kids. Yeah. S2.
I don't know.
Generation from ID4. Like
it's, I mean, when you first see it, it's like, what did he say? What was said?
Well, that's a man's livelihood. Like, if you're a trucker and you have a rig, you know, that's how you live. Like, he basically made this man homeless because he was a dick. and poured a milkshake on him and flirted with a waitress, you know, or harassed a waitress. So let's face it, he was. But still, is that worth taking away a man's livelihood? See, Nick, he's already made that decision. He's already decided to exert his will over humanity. Maybe that's what made him feel bad and look back later and go, gee, should I help humanity or should I keep
Here's what would have been funny. He should have picked it up and just took it like 10 miles down the road.
Yeah, or turn it upside down.
That's funny.
Even just turning it on its side is enough.
Yeah.
You've inconvenienced the man. But he, like, I guess, like, if he has insurance, he's fine. But then what insurance company is going to look at that and say, act of God? Like, I don't really know. My favorite DCEU movie might have been Aquaman. I like Wonder Woman, but Wonder Woman should have stopped when she killed the first Ares. I think that's where, like, that movie could have been epic if she would have gone, like, all humanity sucks, peace out, I'm going to hide.
That third act is awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. Gray villain fighting gray hero on gray background.
The DCEU movies had this
Batman.
I was going to say, they had this weird trend where at the end of all, even at the end of Suicide Squad, they have to have some weird ancient god show up to be the villain. It was really a weird trend for like phase one of the DCEU.
It was all foreshadowing Justice League.
You know what was pretty good was the Harley Quinn standalone.
Yeah, underrated.
I like that. Yeah,
Ewan McGregor can do no wrong.
Yeah,
I really like the scene fight when Black Canary is getting the shit in her face, and she gets a hair tie. She just kind of takes a moment. Oh my God, thank you! And it's like a really cool little moment that you know most women in the audience can relate to, or dudes with long hair. But I don't think it was for them. Mr. Sinister gave us $2. Go ahead.
I was going to say that's even a movie that does really bad character adaptations. That's still a really good film. So it is possible.
It really is. And we did. I wish we could have had time to get more, a little, I mean, the philosophy shit's great and I could talk about it all day, but I did want to talk more about Man of Steel as a film and like aspects that worked or didn't work. But Mr. Sinister gave us $2 and asks, was Ben Affleck's Batman a proper Batman?
Oh yeah.
I really like his Batman. I think he's really good.
Love his Batman.
He's one of the best Batman. I wish he would have been in a good movie.
I was ready to hate him. I really was.
We all were.
This Batfleck bullshit. But I was like, oh damn. That's pretty good, like Dark Knight Returns kind of a thing that they have going on.
Best Batman. I'll say it.
Colton,
best Batman.
Let's not.
It might be Ben Affleck.
I'm saying it is Ben Affleck. Best Batman. I didn't like a single movie he was in. I didn't like any movie he was in.
I mean, it's Kevin Conroy is the only actual answer, but.
Yeah.
No one's going to go with Keaton?
Keaton is my personal Keaton, my son.
I don't know. Kevin Conroy.
I don't know Keaton. Pattinson right now is my number one, but Keaton was
Twilight.
I love him. I can't get behind Batfleck. I'm sorry.
Senpai AF gave us $5 and said, in quote, the world doesn't need a savior, but every day I hear people crying for one. He can't be there for everyone. Man of Steel is beautiful, but not truly Superman. In a lot of ways, I agree with that sentiment. I do think, I think it's the best movie, but if it were just about like an original superhero, like what Zack Snyder was doing with Star Wars and Rebel Moon, I think I would like it a lot more, which maybe I'm bringing too much of my pre-existing bias into it. And that's just me.
I like Brightburn, best Superman movie. Have you guys seen Brightburn? Am I the only? Okay.
Long time ago when it came out. It's the one that James Gunn produced,
right?
I've heard
good things, though.
Evil Superman. Yeah. Tears up the farm. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it really just comes down to what do we want from our Superman? I mean, the fans' point is a good one. Like, oh, how do I think about Superman? People wanting to be saved. It reflects more about us than it does about the film. Though I am interested to know what you think about like the filmmaking, because I know you know a lot about that, Ryan, in particular. Mm-hmm. But the issue of what are we wanting from our savior is more revealed probably than anything about the philosophy of the film at the end of the day.
No, and I love that you led off with that at the start of the discussion too, because it really does speak to why not just Superman, but all superheroes, you know, like Superman and Batman work so well as opposed to each other because they're Achilles and Odysseus, you know, it's the height of humanity versus like, what does the will of the gods deem for us? Mr. Sinister gave us another $2 and said the Snyderverse failed because of corporate greed. Well, I got news for you. Ain't the only cinematic universe failing because of corporate greed. Let's hope some of the others can, the corporations take their foot off the gas. And Creed Menace gave us £2 and said, can't there be two Supermans? No, it's too confusing.
Yeah, yes, there can. Friend in the audience, yes, there can be multiple iterations of a Superman, not just Ryan.
Well, not at the same time. I thought that's what he meant.
I think the question just means, no, I think they just mean that, okay, because even
I would say, a different take on Superman?
I'm sure Nick would agree as well. The definitive, I think, when you think Superman, yes, you far more think about what they're doing with Cornsweat Superman. That's Superman. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate Man of Steel not because it's, oh, this is the truest Superman adaptation ever. No, I just really enjoyed that version
of
it. I was fine with
that. That's depressing.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's really just a matter of, do I really believe that someone would be more moral because they were raised here on Earth? Like that
my friend, dives into a whole other question about the human race, like, and unfortunately we don't have time to answer. I gotta let you guys go. This has been so much fun. I can't wait to do the next movie. Let us know in the comments what you would like to see us do next. Lee, you can find him here on Screen Crush all the time.
Go ahead and check out Lee's Evil Superman video.
Just wrote a great video about Evil Superman. It's starting to take off, so get it before it's gone. Talk to you later, Lee. Thank you. And Colton, you can always find him here at the channel or in his own channel, which is linked below, for his hot takes on things like MOS or MOS, as those kids call it.
Most.
Is that right? Most. Okay.
Most.
Okay. Most. I'm sorry. I reveal how old I am. Talk to you later. And of course, Nick, you can find him on his own channel, Philosophy All Along. Always a pleasure to have you on. Can't wait to see you again.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Later. And guys, we want to hear from you. Let us know down in the comments what you think of Man of Steel. Was it the best, the worst, somewhere in between, or should we just stop talking about it because the movie came out 13 damn years ago? And you know what? Since it's been 10 years, we might talk about Batman versus Superman next. Hard to defend that one, but I'm sure some of you guys out there like it. And don't forget, if you become a store member at our $5 tier, you get 50% off at our merch store with shirts like the Snoopy Still, we got the Bubba Fett, and we got Lobo Main Man t-shirt. All of those are going to be linked below. And if it's your first time here, please subscribe, smash that bell for alerts. For Screen Crush, I'm Ryan Airy.